Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No, Willard, it's Dibs and Grandy with you on a Tuesday here on 95.7 The Game. Picking apart another Giants loss, 9-5 in Atlanta. They've lost six games in a row. Dibs, if I were to ask you this, and all the listeners out there as well, 888-957-9570. These current Giants, and we're probably heavily influenced by recent games, but these current Giants, what are they good at? What would you say? What's their best attribute?
I mean, I feel like you're putting me on the spot right now.
Would you say is it the bullpen still?
It still is the bullpen.
Their top two starters? Is that about it?
I mean, if you think about like rotation, bullpen, base running, fielding, hitting, and then power hitting would be the main like six categories of baseball.
Yeah.
Rotation is, it's good. I do.
Very top heavy.
It is. And, you know, you put aside Logan and Robbie, their last two starts, which were not great, but they've been holding it down. They're both all-stars. Your rotation is probably, throughout the year, a B-. So the bullpen, I would say, would be an A-, if not even a straight A. Your bullpen's been awesome. And, you know, in mop-up roles, whatever. Every team, when you're trailing and you're going to go to mop-up, your mop-up guys are not going to be great, whether it's Bivens or Beck or, you know, whoever else you're just throwing out there to try to eat innings. So I don't hold that against them. The bullpen would be the thing that they're the best at. Power hitting, I would say they're a D+ or a C-. They just don't have consistent power. They've got flashes. Overall hitting, which I would account for clutch hitting, timely hitting, situational hitting, overall hitting, probably a C- as well. You're not a very good hitting team. When you need a clutch hit, you don't get it. You don't get a lot of guys in scoring position. Base running, you're probably a D-. You don't have a lot of speed.
Terrible.
Your third base coach has made a number of bad calls.
Yep.
And you've got guys who actually physically cannot run. Wilmer Flores and Rafi Devers, they cannot run. Fielding, you should be a B+ or an A-. You have two gold glovers of your eight out there. Your catcher is a gold glover, and he's been a B+. Your third baseman, when he's played, has been an A- at worst. And I know he had a play yesterday that many people thought he should have made. Whatever,
he's
bad
He's committed
hop.
A few more errors than normal, but he's
been
still
fantastic.
Shouting. He's still
And shouting. Even like Willie Adames has been quietly really good
Much
for the better
of
part of a couple of months. But your left fielder is patently the worst in baseball among left fielders defensively.
Worst defensive left fielder in baseball. Third worst outfielder, fifth worst defender, period.
Your center fielder reminds me of Shaggy and Scooby and the Mystery Machine. Like, he's seeing ghosts out there. He's not the same confident, like, you know, the Jung Hoo crew. And if you don't have Yaz and Wright, if you've got Matos out there, what are we even doing? And first base outside of Dom Smith, and I really look forward to Rafi Devers tonight to see.
Yep, we'll see.
His first ever game as a first baseman in Major League Baseball. So for me, your defense has been a C, but it's kind of graded on a curve. It should be an A-. So all those grades together, what are they best at? They're best at the same thing that Kyle Shanahan's good at. And I made the comp earlier, and I'll make it again later. When Shanahan gets the lead, late third, early fourth, they almost always win. Last year was weird. You didn't have McCaffrey, and you had kind of a funky year. But in general, if Shanahan's up 24-20, and he gets the ball with 9 minutes left, he wins. And it's like the Giants. If you're up 3-2 going into the seventh, and you've got Frisbee guy Rodgers, you got Rodriguez, you got Doval, and maybe a dose of Walker, you're going to win because those four guys are awesome.
Yeah, but to your point, in order to take advantage of the biggest strength of your team, which I would agree is the bullpen, you have to give your bullpen a game to save. You have to give them a lead, like in the sixth or seventh inning. And you look everywhere else up and down this Giants roster, and I know they've got Logan Webb and Robbie Ray, two all-star pitchers. Beyond that, Landon Roop, who came out of nowhere and has been awesome, But I have a one question mark on him. I don't necessarily expect him to pitch at that level the rest of the year. In fact, I definitely don't expect him to pitch at that level for the rest of the year because he's never thrown this many innings before in his career. You got two question marks on Verlander because he's 42 and has already struggled, and the other spot doesn't exist. So add 100 question marks onto that one. I have a pitching staff that is incredibly top-heavy, but I don't really have a lot of belief in definitely 4 and 5, but maybe even 3. I have, at best, an inconsistent offense, and I feel like I'm being very generous calling them an inconsistent offense. And you're right to split it down to power and average. They're below average in both of those categories offensively. It's a team that, as you laid out, is absolutely trending downward at a very rapid pace defensively. I don't know what the hell's gotten into Jung-Hoo Lee. Elliot Ramos should not be playing outfield, even left field, which most people would probably agree is one of the easiest defensive positions to play in the game of baseball. Not that it is easy, but there are other much more challenging positions to play. And he can't even be doing that. You already have a logjam at DH. And now you're hoping that Devers, in his first ever professional game at first base, is just average? That's what you're hoping for? So you have a team that is really struggling defensively. You have maybe the worst base running team in baseball. Not just the mistakes, not just the outs on the bases, not just Matt Williams sending the dudes he should hold and holding the dudes he should send.
Wow.
But you don't have any guys that can steal bases at all anyway. You are losing games in all of those small areas, and the one strength that I see that is undoubtedly a strength, Dibs, it is the bullpen. That is not enough to carry you to a postseason berth. I don't see a single attribute or characteristic of this team that I feel good relying on night in and night out that is the like pinpoint attribute of a playoff team. I just don't see it.
No, it's hard, and when you talk about like threading that needle, and you and I both basically said the same thing, which is, yeah, your bullpen is the best thing you've got going for you, and so you get into that spot, and if you have the lead after 6, you're probably going to win more games than you're going to lose, yep. And that's awesome, but what if you're trailing, I don't know, after 1, like last night where your starter gives up 5? Those are games where you can kind of not automatically write it off, but it's not going to be a situation that's going to, you know, portend
yep.
toward you winning a lot of games. And so the needle you're trying to thread is pitching and defense. And if the defense isn't great, and it hasn't been for the majority of this season, then you get into a tough spot. I'm looking at Major League Baseball wins above average, WAR, by yep. position. And the Giants and their bullpen, they're number 4. In baseball, in bullpen wins above the replacement average across all of Major League Baseball. And that is basically the only category where you are in the top 5. And even your starting pitching, you're number 20 across all 5
wow.
of your guys. You've got 2 elite. You've got 1, you know, middle of the road, Landon Roop. He's slightly better than middle of the road.
He's been an above average number 3 so far this year.
He has, but then you look at Birdsong, Hicks, Harrison, Verlander, a little dollop of Jelly.
Yeah, Jelly started one game.
Right, so that right there accounts for about 40% of your other starts, and they have not been good. So you go across the board, and you know, even at catcher, wins above replacement, you are 26th. Your catcher doesn't hit. He's good defensively. Your first baseman is 24th. And so, you know, actually one of the interesting ones is second base, you're 8th. Your second baseman have been, you know, pretty productive, and it's been Fitzgerald early. He was terrific. And then Koss, Wisely, Schmidt, they've all contributed a little bit. But I'd go position by position, and more often than not, you're bottom third in all of these. Relief pitching, yeah, you're up there. DH is bad. Left field is actually one that's interesting because as bad as he's been defensively, you are 15th in wins above replacement in left field because he hit so great early on.
Yeah, and he hasn't hit for a while now. He has struggled at the
like,
plate,
by
too.
By he, who do you mean?
Ramos.
And? Well, Jung-Hoo Lee.
I mean,
and
everybody.
Devers. And, like, and that's the yes. thing is, you know, you mentioned he, And by he, you mean like literally two-thirds
everyone
of the lineup.
Starts nodding their head. Yes, you're right. He has struggled because I'm talking about the whole lineup.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Adames has been great. And even, you know, Casey Schmidt has kind of leveled off. And
yeah, no.
Like Jungwoo Lee, you mentioned a great month, which got him back into somewhat of relevance. But Patrick Bailey got hot and he rose to 204. So your offense is subpar. Your starting pitching is what you hung your hat on. But now they've kind of regressed where, you know, your top two, and I know it's a small sample, they both had rough outings this week, but your three is now the guy you're really like leaning on tonight, Landon Roop, and your four is a Hall of Famer who simply cannot win, and your five right now, I'm being told, and I was consulting with the traffic department at KCBS, he's traveling east right now outside of Dixon heading toward Davis. He's going to Sacramento.
And he's probably going to stay there for a while.
I would say a long while. And so your rotation is no longer something you can really lean on. And we mentioned the bullpen. And the bullpen, when you're leading, yeah, the bullpen is great. And it does remind me of the Niners when they have the lead. And the Niners get the lead in the fourth quarter. And you've got Trent Williams, like left tackle, Hall of Famer, frothing at the mouth, and you just give it to McCaffrey, you run left, and you watch Trent Williams just ruin people, and you got Kittle out there, and Juwan, and whoever else, you're going to get 3 to 5 yards, maybe he breaks one for 11 or 15, you're going to win because you've got the lead, and that's what this Giants team is.
Yeah, speaking of the Niners, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they addressed the media to open Niners training camp earlier today down in Santa Clara. We will hear their full intro press conference to really kick off the new year. That's coming up at about 15 minutes right here on 95.7 The Game. And speaking of, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We were talking earlier, Dibs, about some of the blame that Bob Melvin deserves and maybe that this entire leadership deserves. And I gotta be careful in how I say this because I don't mean to say that I want the Farhan and Kapler era back. Like I desperately do not want that. I said yesterday, part of the reason why this is so frustrating has been because of the elevation of expectation. And I would rather be disappointed because I was so excited originally about a team than be just kind of nonplussed at a 500 baseball team. But when I think back to what those teams were, those Farhan and Kapler era teams, we ran through some of the numbers yesterday, but through 101 games in 2022, Dibs, the Giants were 50-51. In 2023, they were 54-47. In 2024, they were 48-53. This year, they're 52-49. You know, essentially, all records are plus minus like 3 or 4 wins of each other. It's largely the same record-wise. There's some variability here, but largely it's the same. I just looked up a random year, 2023, when they were actually 7 games over 500. They were 2 games better than the Giants currently are. This year, in 2023, they were better. On this day in 2023, Dibs, the Giants lineup was Lamont Wade Jr., Jock Peterson, J.D. Davis, Michael Conforto, Mike Yastrzemski, Luis Matos, Blake Sable, Brett Wisely, and Casey Schmidt. That was the Giants starting nine, a team that was 7 games over 500, better than this current team. This current team's lineup tonight, if you haven't heard it yet, Jungwoo Lee, Elliot Ramos, Rafi Devers playing first base for the first time in his career, Willie Adames, Matt Chapman, Wilmer Flores, Casey Schmidt, Patrick Bailey, and Luis Matos. I don't know how you view those two lineups, but to me, you have one that is clear, far and away, a much better lineup, and it is the one that the Giants are going out there with today. So when I think back on the Farhan and the Kapler era, and I compare it to what's happened so far this year, the one thing that I can give Farhan and Kapler credit for that we have not yet seen from Bob Melvin and these Giants, that era of Giants baseball, the Farhan and Kapler era, they managed to squeeze every last possible win out of that roster. They got the maximum return on that talent, in my opinion. Now, it was lesser talent.
Right.
There's less wins, you would think, realistically in that group of talent. But they got, I think, the maximum performance and the maximum wins out of that group. And the Giants have not. These Giants have not. This Giants team, to this point, has underperformed. They're two games worse with much better talent, in my opinion.
Of late, yeah, and it's a small sample just because you look at what they've done. They've lost six in a row, and so is this the team that we expect them to be all the way through? No, but when you deal with 101 games, right, and that's where we are, you've got 61 to go.
Big bunch of games.
That's a real sample, and we're, you know, a good 60 or so percent of the way through the year, and yeah, the lineup is better, and even as I look at that 2023 team, and I think about the rotation, which that rotation was Logan Webb, he started 33, Alex Cobb started 28 games, he had a 3.87, good, not elite, but a good solid year. You had Dee Sclafani, thank you, Mark Willard somewhere is turning over in his hammock. Not his grave, his hammock, wherever he may be. He started 18 games with a 4.88. Ryan Walker started 13 games.
Shout out openers.
Alex Wood started 12. Ross Stripling, 11.
Oh,
Manaea, 10. Brebbia, 10. Scott Alexander started 8. And you had Kyle Harrison started 7. Keaton Wynn, 5. Jacob Junis started 4.
Oh, Jacob
Tristan
Junis.
Beck started 3. You get my point. It was an absolute rotation sensation is what it was.
It wasn't even a rotation.
It was two guys and a bunch of openers. And Dee Sclafani went healthy. And so, yeah, you look at this lineup, it's better. You look at this rotation, it's better. Even if you look at this bullpen, and that bullpen was...
That bullpen was still good.
Well, Duvall had 39 saves,
yeah,
and he finished 60 games, which led Major League Baseball, and you had Tyler Rogers pitching 68, and you had Taylor Rogers as well. That bullpen was, I would say, comparable to this one. You didn't have Randy Rodriguez, you know, throwing 102,
yeah,
but they got it done. So
this one's probably better, but maybe mostly because they've had to carry less of the weight.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
And defensively, though, if you look at that team and you had, you know, Brandon Crawford in his last year still playing good defense,
yep,
that defense, to me, is the separator based on what this defense has been. But you're right. If you want to compare this team to that team, this team is better. So
miles better. Talent-wise, they're so much better.
And the manager is better. Like, Bob Melvin, and I mentioned this many, many times, and I hate that this is still a thing, but it's a fact. He's number 3 all-time in wins among managers with no World Series. It goes Gene Mock, Buck Showalter, Bob Melvin. Managers, wins with no World Series. So you can take that two ways.
Yeah, that's easy to make fun of. It's just you've been around for a long time. You had lots of bites at the apple and haven't gotten the job done.
You're very employable, and you know many people in baseball think that you're a good manager. That's why you keep getting a job. But the other side of it is you've not been able to get a team over the line, and I don't even think he's ever been to a World Series.
No, I don't think so.
A's, no. Padres, no. Giants, not yet.
No.
So, I don't know. I look at this team, and you know, we can start to, as we get deeper into it, we can start to really point fingers. Right now, I think if you're going to point a finger, you need to have 25 fingers and then another couple of hands for management as well. You're all to blame.
Yeah, they are.
Like, the only one who I would say right now is not blameless might be Willy Adames. Just because...
Who is blameless.
Right, he's the only one right now that if I was going to, like, you know, rat-a-tat-tat blame across the whole room... Willie, for almost 8 weeks now, has been, you've been Willie. Like, you've been the player we thought we were going to get.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, sorry, no.
When Willie struggled, the Giants have won. When Willie's been good, the Giants have
crazy,
lost.
Right?
Kind of weird the way that it's worked for him so far this year. 888-957-9570. Remember, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch coming up in about 10 minutes right here on Willard and Dibs. But it's Dibs and Grandy with you. Up next is Eric in Walnut Creek. Eric, what do you got?
You know, I've called many times. You guys usually just laugh me off. But, you know, there's a lot of things that I've been right on with this team. Verlander was such a lazy signing. You know, this record they have now, they're going to end up 83 and 79. And I'm Mr. Small Ball. You guys don't like it when I talk about, hey, this team could put a lot of pressure on bullpens and go above this two-run average a game. If you put guys like Fitzgerald in there, if you could put guys like Wisely on base, if you bring up McCray, Matos has no business being on the team or being in the outfield and fumbling the ball and misreading pop-ups. And if you put those guys together, guys who could get on base, guys that could slash, bunt, and steal, and actually start employing that, it would work. And I know that because I played 3 years at Division I at a Division I program here in the Bay. I was that Swiss Army knife that did those things. And believe me, it rattles a bullpen. And they've never even tried it. Get those extra two runs. I don't know why they don't do this. That's one fix. Because they got a whole lineup that's a bunch of the same guys. Schmidt, Matos, Chapman, Adames, Devers now. It's all the same. Guys at bat 220 and hit 13 homers.
Yeah, Eric, I hear you. And I think the idea of this team leaning into small ball, it's a great idea. They tried to do it early. The reality is they also suck at that. They can't get a bunt down. They don't have speed to steal bases. You mentioned they should call up people like Brett Wisely and Grant McCray and get them on base. The problem, they can't get on base. They take advantage of the speed of Grant McCray. Okay, Grant, first you got to get on base. Guess what? His on-base percentage at AAA this year is .337. That's at AAA. That's not going to be good enough. He's got to get on base for that to work. Now, is he a much better defensive outfielder than Ramos or Matos? Yes, by a mile. And maybe it gets to a point where the Giants say, you know what? We're willing to deal with the offensive drop-off for the defensive bonus that we're going to get from a position like that. But if we're talking about the small ball and Grant McCray and Brett Wisely are part of the conversation, I'm sorry, they're not good enough hitters to take advantage of that consistently enough for that to be a positive influence on your team at the big league level.
And that's fair, and you don't have that many roster spots to just truly specialize. I do know this, that you are, as a Giants team, you are fifth in baseball in sacrifice hits, so maybe it's because you try to bunt a lot, but
you do.
You're able to bunt, and you've got 19 bunts that you've been able to use. And McCray's a guy who I think is interesting as a late inning defensive replacement and a pinch runner for a team that desperately needs a little bit of speed. But right now, you need more than just a specialized fifth outfielder on your roster.
Yeah, you do. You need something to that's going to help out offensively right now. But if Devers figures it out and Adames keeps raking, then maybe suddenly the needs change, and then maybe you're more willing to go with someone like a Grant McCray, who isn't, you know, hitting the ball terribly at the AAA level. I think we've seen who he is at the big league level, and it's not a very impressive hitter. His defense does stand out, and his speed does stand out, and those are two things that this team desperately needs. But right now, considering the offensive issues, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be something that they're going to turn to at this stage. Okay, time for a break. When we come back, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch addressing the media to begin training camp. We will hear everything those two had to say right when we come back. Plus, don't forget, we're giving away a pair of tickets to this Saturday's Giants and Mets game. It's Steph Curry bobblehead giveaway night, and we have a pair of tickets to give away courtesy of Panini. All you need to know for now is begin listening, or keep listening, next segment, because that's when we will tell you how you can win. But next, Shanahan, Lynch, Niners preseason, Niners training camp is underway. We're back with more from Shanahan and Lynch coming up next right here on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard, it's Dibs and Grandy with you here on a Tuesday on 95.7 The Game, and it is a special Tuesday because Niners training camp is underway. All players reported today. Practice begins tomorrow. And with that in mind, Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the Niners, and John Lynch, general manager of the Niners, they met the media and addressed everything under the sun leading into 49ers training camp. And here it is, everything Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch said today to begin Niners training camp.
Well, go ahead, please.
John, can you bring us up to date on the PUP and the NFI guys? Which ones do you expect to be cleared to practice tomorrow? and specifically Ricky Pearsall? What's his situation?
Yeah, I think we put him on PUP, all these guys, for a reason. When they took their physicals, they weren't deemed to be ready on that specific day. In some instances, they'll come off relatively quickly. It's kind of a ramp-up situation where they've been away. We want to assess them. We want to get them off to the side and kind of build them up. Abundance of caution. And that also preserves the right, you know, in some cases with PUP, NFI, to use that at the roster cut. But in some of these instances, we anticipate it being short term. Ricky would be one of those.
Is there a possibility he could practice tomorrow?
He likely won't. You'll see him out there off to the side, likely.
Ricky had a bad hamstring in OTAs. I mean, not real bad, a normal one. He's good now. He's hit all his miles per hour. He's fine. We just haven't seen him the last 2 weeks. We're not going to throw a wide out there the first 3 days. We don't want to pull it again until we see his conditioning and everything, which we should get in 3 days, and then he should be good.
Was it a partial tear, like a grade two?
John, where do things stand with Juwan Jennings, and what is kind of the plan to work things out?
Juwan's reported, took his physical yesterday. We anticipate, I won't speak for Juwan, but had a good visit with him. Anticipate him being out there. You guys know our feelings on JJ. He embodies what... you know, what we think a Niner's all about, plays the right way, and we love him, and I think all that stuff, we're not going to get into the contract talks and all that. That takes care of itself, but, you know, we love him, and he's here.
So is there a dialogue about a contract extension? Is that
he's here.
John, gone through, obviously, what we all know went on last season, last training camp. Is there some disappointment that there is at least public discussion about this? Is there some, you know, ultra motivation to make sure it doesn't happen like it happened last year?
No. You know, it's kind of a sign of the times. It's just, it happens. And I think every team has this. We're probably hyper-focused on our team. And, you know, like I said, I told you what we feel about Juwan. He's an integral part of this team and a guy we'd like to have around here for a long time.
Wide receiver questions. What's the latest sense of Brandon Ayuk and when he could resume practicing? And any more information on DeMarcus Robinson and whether he'll be suspended to begin the season?
Yeah, that's a league matter as with respect to DeMarcus, and we'll let that play out. The league will handle that. We knew there was a possibility when we signed DeMarcus and have accounted for that. So we'll see. That's a legal matter that is playing out. With respect to BA, you know, he did a lot to his knee, and I would tell you that he's in really good place considering all that. Now, what does that mean in terms of a timeline and all that? We're continuing to assess and get information. He did a lot of his rehab away from here, and so, you know, I think when you get these guys back, there's all kinds of objective measurements that you want to do. And so he'll be working on his rehab and with our guys. And I think we're encouraged on where he's at, but not anywhere close to having a set in stone timeline.
When it came to how the offseason went, obviously you guys are very familiar with the business side of this. Did you kind of see this coming down the pipeline with Juwan, given the injuries in the offseason and the moves in the offseason, that he would possibly want to kind of ask for a new contract?
Yeah, I think you anticipate all situations that make sense when a player's in that situation. I see the same thing with Colton McKivitz. I mean, those are two guys to me in very similar situations that I think the way they feel about us is the same way we feel about them. You know, that's the easy part. The hard part's the business side. You know, when people talk about how to avoid drama and stuff and things like that, and I'm trying not to say negative about it, I think that's just business. I don't call that drama, I call that business. I mean, if you want to avoid all drama, then just be really extremely bad at business and just be ridiculous on everything, and I guess there'd be no drama until you tear your team apart doing that. So, like, you look into all that stuff, but, like, we got a great relationship with these guys. As two guys, that does make sense. We can do everything we can to make that work out, but it's not always easy to make it work out, so we'll see how that goes.
You tried out some receivers. I know you must be trying out various positions, but saw that it come across. Do you feel a little light just given?
Anytime we don't have 12 receivers for any NFL camp that I've been in 21 years, I feel light. And so we have 12. That's a hard thing with PUP. because when a guy's on PUP, he counts on your 90. So even though we have 12 receivers in our building, with BA not being able to go throughout training camp, that means you only have 11. With Ricky not on the, with him on PUP for at least the first three practices, it means we only have 10, which you can get by with 10 until one guy has a sore hamstring the next day. And then you go with 9. And when you have 9 in a practice, one of those guys is going to get hurt because you're having to overload a guy because you're now 3 less than 12. And if you do that for a few days, it's tough. So that's the hard thing with PUP guys. Even though it looks like your numbers are there, they're not. So we felt we had to get a guy for the numbers, or eventually you lose one guy, that's going to lead to two more. So that's really the thought behind all that. And we have that with every position, really.
And to help you guys all out, it just happened. Help me out with the name, Equanimeous, right? Equanimeous St. Brown. We'll have signed him, so he'll be joining us off that workout yesterday.
Kyle, what tone do you want to set on day one of training camp this year?
I want it as simple as can be. Like, my goal with everything is to be the best we can possibly be, and that means nothing about. That means nothing except for each individual becoming the best they can be. And all that has to do with putting in work and getting better each day. Like, we're finally at a camp. I think these guys have put the work in throughout the offseason, where they've been with us or away. And they've given themselves a chance to come in here and really grind. And we're going to do that here for the next 5 weeks before we settle this team. And I think we have as much position spots open, the final 53, the practice squad, as we've had since probably 2018. And I really want everyone to come in and focus strictly on that. Be the best you can be, work every day, and we'll see what that adds to make our team collectively. But if I could simplify me rambling better, it's time to go to work.
And John, what mindset does the team need to carry into this year starting today?
Well, you know, Brianna, being around this league for a long time, each year is a new year, and you earn everything you get. And you know, there's some excitement and newness every year in this league with this team. There's a lot of young, new players who we've added. And with that comes some unknown, but it's also exciting. And so, but what I would say is we have a tremendous core of players, and they got to decide what they want this team to be. And a lot of things have to fall in place. But I do know that, you know, what happened last year, and there's a lot of reasons, fell short of our standard. And our guys understand that extremely well, and I think they're very motivated, like Kyle said, to do everything and be very intentional. And it's one thing I love about Kyle and the way he organizes practices. It's all with one intent, to have the team as ready as they can be, and with that, at times takes some risk. We're not going to go through a training camp 100% healthy. We understand that. We try to do everything we can to account for that and put our players in the best situation, but you have to work. You have to callus up, and I think it's about that work, and it's really exciting. I watched, I think we all sat back and watched Scottie Scheffler, win the Open, and he's starting to talk a little more in terms of what his preparation and things, and the thing he said, and I think it translates to any sport, is how everything he does during the week in preparations is extremely intentional to try to set him up to do one thing, give himself the best chance to win. And that's the same thing we try to do, and how we put our roster together, how they organize practices. And that's what this whole thing's all about. So I would just say the tone is you got to go earn it. And I know we have some very motivated players to do just that.
Why is he an NFI? Organize the practices.
So the question, real quick, and then we'll come to you. Yeah, he hurt himself working out away from here. He's one of those guys, not going to put a time limit, but relatively soon should be coming back. Barsh.
How does he stack up as far as, Kyle, when you look at that left guard position? Has he kind of put himself at the top based off the offseason program?
No, but he's right there competing with guys. You know, him and Zakel, we all know Burford can do that. He's done it before. We're starting him out, working to try to get that swing tackle spot. We also know he can hop right in and guard and play because he started there for us in our 23 season with Feliciano. We had Barch and Zakel competing through OTAs, but like I'll say, in the year since 2008, probably 19, what is OTAs when it comes to an alignment and stuff? You know, we got to actually go out there and do more football. So, but he's in the competition, he's in the mix.
Go ahead, what, map out what the workload plan is for McCaffrey and Trent Williams specifically.
It's I mean, it's all on paper somewhere. It's too confusing for me to memorize, or I'll forget things that I don't can't just read on paper. But
you have to take into account to try to get these guys through camp healthy.
Oh, definitely. Which I mean, which we always do. You know, last year neither of them did camp, and that didn't help them go through the season either. So I'm glad that they're both here and healthy, and they get a chance to go back to me, have a chance to build their bodies where they have a chance to get through the season like they have in the past.
Yeah, seeing from last year's draft class as far as taking that year two jump?
I think that's one of the most important things. I mean, I think the most obvious thing is how many rookies we're going to be dependent on this year, especially when you look at the defensive side. We hope we are. But that goes hand in hand with the second year guys. Guys that came in here and did a hell of a job in their first year, guys like Renardo, guys like Ricky, Garindo, you got Mustafa, who will be back sometime during the season. But it's huge for those guys to take a second step. I mean, you talk about the sophomore slump a lot, and we're not in a position that we can afford that. So we're dependent on those guys to not have a sophomore slump. And I mean, I see it the same in some third year players who haven't. I mean, guys like Winners and stuff. He got some playing time a little bit more last year, and he can't take a step back. We need all these guys to take a step forward. And talk about second-year players, I have the same for the rookies, but I'll go to our vets also. Like, our vets need to take a step forward. Anybody here, I mean, it's the cliche thing, but you're getting better or worse. You're not staying the same, and I want to make sure I'm getting better. I want to make sure every player on our team's getting better.
Shout out to Corey Rush for anticipating the sophomore slump questions. Good work, Corey.
Follow up on that, especially with the rookies on the defensive side of the ball that you'll be relying a lot on. Realistic expectations for the defense starting out the year. Obviously, you want them to produce and play well. You've seen Robert Saleh have an effect on them already in the offseason. But when you guys kind of huddle, what do you think are the realistic expectations for the defense early on in the season?
Yeah, well, one, I think we got a lot of good vets, you know, who have established themselves in their league. I mean, I can go over numbers, but there's not many people in this league better than Fred and better than Nick. Love what Demo's done here these last few years and the vet he's become. But yeah, we're, you know, there's a chance we could have six rookies or six new guys starting. There's a chance we could have eight. You know, we'll see how it plays out. And anytime you say that, that's different. That is a different team. That is a different side of the ball. And so that does take some time. That's why I'm so excited to get started with camp so we can start working that. That we got a really good head start in OTAs. When you have a young defense like that, you know, you think of six out of our first nine games are on the road. I know that'll be a huge challenge for them. But I think we have the capability with some of the veterans that we've had here, some of the new guys that we've added, some of these vets we've brought in to create some competition with these new guys. That as long as we keep getting better throughout the year, I think we have a chance to turn it into a real good defense.
John, do you expect
Juwan to be out there?
So just
to clarify, you're not expecting a hold-in situation. And then if I could ask a second question, has he formally requested a trade?
You know, I saw the same tweets you guys saw, but like I'll just stick to what I said. Juwan's here. We expect him to be out on the field.
Yeah. So he hasn't formally asked for a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
What's your understanding of Demo's legal situation right now?
You know, that something occurred down there. We've talked with Demo. You know, of course we would prefer our players not get involved in those things, but I think that, again, that's a legal matter. We'll work itself out. And we got a lot of faith in Demo, who he is as a person, what he stands for. Go ahead, Jennifer.
It was actually about that one, but last couple off seasons, you've had players send you pictures about how their progress has been. Has anyone been extremely interactive with you about what they've been doing during the off season?
Not really. I mean, the one in the past that got a lot is because I was on him a little bit before he left. I just saw a real cool video that Trent sent to our strength coach today. Somebody didn't send it to me, but it was neat. He can still vertical jump more than any man I've ever seen his size. So that was cool to watch. But I'm more excited to see the videos of them with some pads on playing football.
Is it three practices without pads and then?
We have to do four. Yeah, that's the rule.
Three, one day off, a fourth. That's the acclimation period, yeah. And then we roll.
Or injury ones, Yetur and Dillard. Are those two of the guys in the boat that you expect a little bit sooner?
I think it's similar to Ricky, that because they've been away, we could put them out there right now with how they check, but we're going to be safe, evaluate them for these 3 days with them, with Dustin, both of our Dustins. We'll have a day off, and then we'll decide if we want to put them in the next block.
Malik posted a picture today. It looked like he's walking out with some pads on. Is his recovery going
maybe faster than you would expect.
His recovery and how he is as good as it could be. Like, just the way he works, the way everything checks, it's amazing. But it's still an ACL, you know, so you still got to give it the time.
And I think, you know, to add to that, it's a revision. It's one he had previously hurt. And so I think with that, the time element, you know, I think there's Malik is going to outperform every time because he's a special athlete, and then he's a special human being who's going to do everything and more. But there is, I think, especially with the revision, just a time element that doctors want to see you get to that puts some, he wants to be out there today, believes that he could be, but we have to kind of hold him back.
It's hard to give you guys timetables because timetables change all the time. And then Branch will hold me accountable like 6 months later. But when you look into like all three of our ACL guys, whether it's Rourke, Mustafa, NBA, they're all kind of in the same boat of the time to come back, which isn't going to be training camp. I mean, it could be, but that would be very surprising. All right, but it'd be sometime in the season, hopefully the first half. And that's what we're hoping. And they're all three kind of in that same area, even though they all did it at different times, have different situations, but they're all about the same health time.
Tracy, you?
Yeah. Obviously, you haven't had a practice yet, but how have you seen kind of the infusion of youth excite and motivate some of your veterans?
I thought it was awesome during OTAs. I mean, I think you've heard us talk pretty positively throughout the offseason. I think the irritation of the year before had a lot to do with that, but I also think the added in so many young guys who, when they came in, it's not just added. Young guys don't add the right type of energy and everything if they're not the right type of guys. But what we saw throughout OTAs after the draft, those guys acted like pros. They worked, they were energetic, they communicated, they asked tons of questions, and I think that helped motivate some of the veterans, like, all right, we want to do this. We want to definitely fix what we did last year, but we know we can't do that with the help of all these young guys, new guys who came, and I think they showed us in OTAs that we're all very excited that they're going to give us a chance.
How much relief was there?
You may have to rely on a number of rookies, especially defensively, like you mentioned. How do you, I guess, measure their readiness and maybe give them some grace as they develop and get familiar with the system and get up to speed now?
I mean, the same way you always do. I mean, you go back to 19, we're coming off a 4-12 season as second pick in the draft. And, you know, that year we started Debo was a rookie. We started Nick Bosa was a rookie. Dre Greenlaw started. He was a rookie. I mean, you do the same way you've done it your whole career. You just, there might be more than one at certain spots, which I think brings more light into it. But we've all been around enough to know that, yeah, there's some growing pains with rookies, but there's growing pains with everyone. It's easy to say it's because of a rookie, but with vets, there's up and downs. You do that with everyone. You got to understand, though, that rookies like are going to struggle harder at first. They aren't going to figure it out right away. You can't just bench them as soon as they make a mistake early. That does take reps. No matter what you do, you need a lot of reps to get good at anything. And these guys are going to need those reps. They haven't had them. They don't get them in the offseason. They get them through playing football. And that's why you hope as they get those reps, they're not catastrophic, because we're all judged on wins and losses. But there's some ebb and flows in it, and if they're made of the right stuff, you can overcome those mistakes, and they eventually fix them.
With that in mind, was there some pressure to get Alfred Collins done so he could actually get on the field and start working?
I don't think there was pressure, Jennifer. That was a weird deal in that, like, the whole second round hadn't moved. And you can sit back and you can wait, or you can – and I just asked our guys, Brian Hampton, like, go call everyone in the league and let's get an estimation where this thing's going to break, and does it benefit us to be not first, because some guys had signed, but does it? And at the end of that process, the recommendation from them was let's go ahead and get this thing going. And Alfred had worked really hard after not being able to participate in OTAs and getting himself in really good condition. He didn't want to lose, so he was extremely motivated. And I think I was really proud of our guys and his side, Nicole Lynn and Alfred, and coming together and kind of triggering the second round. And I think we ended up in a good place for everyone.
Are you committed to taking those lumps potentially and letting the young guys, the rookies, learn on the job early in the season, even if it costs you a game or two?
Yeah, but I mean, it's also, is there a better vet behind him? Like, you're going to play the best player, whether he's young or not. We are in a situation where we have a lot of opportunities for young guys to be our best players. We haven't had that in a while, probably since 19. And that's why there's a lot more, there's more room for young players to make it here. And I think we got the right young players to do that. But in any situation, if someone's struggling, and we're going to put the best team out there possible, we have a chance for young guys to really earn that. But if there's someone better behind them, we're judged off wins and losses. You're going to do what it takes to win that game and then try to get a guy ready for the next week. But you're always going to put the best guys out there.
In the offseason program, what did you see Brock take maybe his biggest leap, and what do you expect from him training camp and getting ready for the regular season opener?
I think Brock's played at a very high level since he's been here, since his first game in to his last game. I think Brock's played on extremely high level, and that's why he's earned that contract. I think the hardest thing with this league and the amount of money and the amount of coverage, when people get contracts, there's all this other expectation of now what do they have to do. And Brock needs to keep playing how he's always played and continue to get better, like everyone does. Like, you get better or worse, you don't stay the same. So, like, Brock has had a hell of a short career so far. He had a hell of an off season, and when you have a guy who is, to me, real in those ways, it hasn't been fake, the way he works, who he is as a man, what he's put on film, what we see every day, he will keep getting better, and that's what we saw throughout OTAs.
Do you have a question in the back? You were trying earlier. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. You're all good? Okay. All right. Good deal. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, that's Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. And with that, Dibs, Niners training camp is officially open. Before we discuss our takeaways, I did want to let everybody know and remind everybody that our Giants ticket contest is officially on. Don't call just yet because you don't know how to win.
Right.
If you want to win a pair of tickets to Saturday's Giants-Mets game, it is a special 6:05 Saturday night start, and the first 20,000 fans get a Steph Curry bobblehead. But if you want to win, all you need to know right now is listen. And this giveaway, by the way, courtesy of Panini. Something we say over the next 20 minutes will be what you need to win, because in the 5 o'clock hour, we will ask you about something we say in these next 20 minutes. And if you're the first person to give us the right answer on the contest line, you'll be the winner. The contest line for your records, don't call now, but just so you have it, 415-523-4652, and just keep listening. But Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch talked about literally everything we could possibly think of.
Yeah, and we can get fully into all of the minutiae and the details of it, but my just thumbnail sketch, good news, bad news. Good news, Juwan is here, and that's going to get done. Bad news, Brandon Ayuk, it might be mid-season. That's what I heard.
And maybe a couple of others that might be mid-season as well, and we can get into that.
Because Ayuk did not only the one ligament, but the two, and you know, I ran down the numbers of the return-to-play protocol based on a two-ligament repair, and it normally is between 300 and 320 days, and that would put him into about week 8. So, yeah, I do think it becomes interesting that they signed Equanimeous St. Brown, who is Amon-Ra's brother.
Yep.
Very, very good blocking wide receiver,
by the way.
Yeah, he's a great blocker, and they signed him. It doesn't mean he's going to make the roster, but we can get into the wide receiver position on the other side, because I do think it's interesting that they brought in a boatload of guys and how many they have in camp and who can play and who can't play. And, you know, camp gets underway officially tomorrow.
Yeah, first practice is tomorrow, and there is a lot to dive into based on what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch had to say. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we will dive into all of that. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you on 95.7 The Game.